Welcome to the podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together the message and a taste of the music that we experience each Sunday morning as we root our lives in grace through worship here at The Table. More and more people are finding their way to The Table through this podcast, so if you are one of the many, many folks who tune in each week from other parts of California, other parts of our country, or even from other places in the world, we would invite you to take a next step in growing in faith here at The Table. You can do that online at our website, thetableumc.org. There you'll find links to social media and also a way to make a deep commitment to our community to express how you hope to root your life in grace, to grow in faith, to reach in love, and to give generously. If you're one of the many people listening to this but haven't quite walked through the door of the sanctuary yet on a Sunday morning, we would love to welcome you into the beauty of this sanctuary. We gather each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and at 11. Our address is 5265 H Street in East Sacramento.
From dust we've come and dust we are and shall return. Be still, my soul, and let it go. Just let it go. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God in the highest.
Christians all around the world heard the same readings that we just sat and listened to, and honestly, probably quite a few more. We heard from Isaiah, who says, "Turn to God not by practicing personal piety, but by loving your neighbor." And in turning to God, may we never forget the least and the lost, that Jesus came to free, and may our worship become justice in the world, and may our worship be holy in the world. Then we heard from 2 Corinthians, the address was meant for congregations, was meant for individuals, it was meant for pastors, and it was meant for all Christians and followers of Jesus in their day. And they were continuing to puzzle over the divisions and the violence that was being committed right there in front of them in the name of Christ. And so this passage we heard calls each of those groups to examine ourselves, to review the ways in which we need to embrace the whole body of believers, practice holiness, and to get on with the work of reconciling ourselves with God, with our neighbor, with our community, and with our whole world. And then we heard Lori read Matthew 6, and in that we hear the words of Jesus, "Beware of practicing your piety before others." And he's warning about how not to practice piety, and then he offers a radical commandment of how one should do it. That when you give alms, money, don't sound like a trumpet. The hypocrites do that. Pray in secret, not in public. Don't fast. Don't disfigure your face. Allow only God to see your fasting and your prayer. See, practicing holiness can open vulnerable places in our minds and in our bodies. And in each of these readings, we are called to a practice of holiness. And we are called to that practice of holiness in Lent as we begin today to move towards Easter. You know, there was a time in my life when I would find myself feeling actually excited about the songs that we were going to get to sing by the time we got to Easter Sunday. Because like Joy to the World or Silent Night at Christmas, there's like only one time, one day, really, in the church year you get to sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today," right? Soar we now where Christ has led. I can hear the organ swelling up. Made like Christ we rise. And my favorite part was, where's thy victory, boasting grave? I was like, yeah. That's how I heard it, you know? And the days after Easter, all of the music in my churches just seemed a little better, which I was always looking for. Like, can it move a little faster with joy? And that made me excited, too, about getting to Lent, because I knew that it was a signal that we were going to start moving in that direction and towards the mystery of Easter. Because you see, along with generations of Christians, I had begun to put ashes on my head as a young person. Actually, I had not done it myself. It was done to me by my dad, who happened to also be my pastor. And he, along with those who came after him in my life, would say the same thing to every person. They would say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And I could hear it because the service was always very small, right? And we were all together in one little place. And the old people and the mommies, we had communion rails where you came up to, and the old people and the mommies would always stand, and the mommies would hold their babies while the rest of us would kneel down at the communion rail, and we'd have that sign of the cross rubbed on our foreheads, and then we would all have communion. Everybody got the ashes. And I always heard that sentence over and over again, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, as a negative comment on, like, my body and flesh. Or at least it was a warning. Remember, that's how I heard it. As grateful as you may be for that body, I heard Ash Wednesday telling me every year, as good as God may have made you, don't get too attached to your body, for it's made of, like, perishable stuff. And I kept returning year after year, but in time I began to wonder about those ashes and the need for them to really come from church. Why was that necessary? It happened like that, especially for me in 1991, because I lived in the Oakland Hills. And that was when the tragic Oakland Hills fire happened. And it happened to me when I wondered for many hours, Mark and I, whether we had lost our home or not. Because ashes were everywhere, and going to church really just didn't seem necessary. Ashes coated my house and my yard and my whole neighborhood. They were knee-deep, seriously, in places where people had lost everything. And I wondered on those days following September 11th, when no one, I don't think, had to go to church for ashes either. Because we were miles deep then. In ash, and the air of Manhattan was full of ash, and actually so were the hearts of the whole world, full of ashes. And then 5 years ago, my dad died, and as Lent approached, and Ash Wednesday lay ahead, I really expected to feel the same way. Because I could see his ashes in my mind, and they coated my heart. Because we picked up his ashes from the funeral home, and I didn't know what to expect. I'd never done that before. I remember they were really heavy, and that shocked me. And I remember I was afraid to open them, and I was afraid to look at them, but I did it. And I held him. And something really unexpected happened to me in that moment that I didn't anticipate, which was, as I held him, I felt reverent. And it was more like I felt when I held each of my babies for the very first time. And I wondered, maybe that was what he felt when he held me, as I was holding him. And in that moment, his ashes really became holy for me. So coming to Ash Wednesday that year after his death completely shifted for me. And I realized that the smudging of ashes is not a veiled threat about my body or about bodies in general, as much as it's about holiness and reverence. The holiness of the ashes that are worthy, they become worthy of reverence. Because in the beginning, God breathed into dust and ash breath of life that makes us dance and makes us sing and makes us love, and we will all become ash again. But in the meantime, our bodies are the source of revelation for us. Through our bodies, we come to know pleasure and pain. Through our bodies, we come to know desire and disappointment. Our bodies allow us to love and be loved by recognizing ourselves in one another. And it's through our bodies that God finds us in the deepest and most mysterious way of being completely known. And bodies are scary too. Both because our bodies are frail and they get sick, and because they become hard to control. Especially when passion moves through us from our toes to our head and everywhere in between. Though we're tempted to think of ourselves as invincible and the center of everything, when we're honest, we know we are vulnerable renderings of God's own creation. So this day marks the beginning of Lent, and in these early morning hours, we are joining Christians all around the world as we allow ourselves to wear, to receive ashes. And we're once again, and maybe for the very first time, invited to receive a smudge on our foreheads that is made from the palms that were burned the Sunday before Easter last year. And this act that we are about to do is a reminder that God breathed life into ash, and we became holy human beings. No matter the shape ashes took in forming us, we are vulnerable to our temptation to turn away from our bodies as sources of revelation of who and whose we are, to see our bodies as threats instead of the blessings that our bodies are. And no matter the shape these ashes take and these bodies take, these bodies are announcing God's undying love of dust, no matter what. Because God loves us, and there is nothing we can do about that. So may our Lenten journey be marked by a deep longing to get in our bodies and to root our lives in grace and to grow in faith. And may each of us journey, if we can, ever more openly into the question of who Jesus is for us, what difference he makes for us and to us in our lives. And may these ashes that I am about to bless remind us that we are all of us beloved children of God, created from dust and ash, and given life through God's very breath. And may these marks, these smudges, stay with us throughout this day and over the coming weeks ahead. Not that this will be a show, but that these ashes will be a vulnerable rendering of what is possible through the love of God that we know through the life and teachings and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
naked we came and shall return into the grave. Be still, my soul, and let it go. Just let it go. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest.